Well, it's so good to be in the house this morning, and every song has just ministered to my heart, and it is a real treat for me to be here. I'd called Brother Carl last night and asked him, and I thought that I was right. This is the third Mother's Day that I have gotten to be here in at Cornerstone here in Roland, and every year, I mean this, It is a highlight of my year to get to come here and watch the Lord move around the altars and do great things. I will go ahead and tell you, moms, because I am an evangelist. I just preach evangelistically even on Mother's Day. And years ago, I went to Wichita, Kansas, and the preacher told me, he said, "You're the first guy that I've ever seen that preached hell on Mother's Day." That's why I got the guts to just do what God tells me to do. And I don't mean this wrong. I just pray and get the leadership of the Lord and do what I do. This is what I'm called to do. And I don't apologize for that. It's a treat for me to be here. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Luke, chapter 23. I'll visit a little more. I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit about moms, what moms mean to me. I wrote on Facebook this morning, and I didn't really go into deep detail. But mamas love you. They hold you. They pray for you. They convince you that greatness is locked up inside of you, and they project for you, and they're just a real blessing. Brother Carl, I thought about my mama this morning. Before I was born, my mama, Joanne Stinnett, prayed. This was unique to me. She prayed that God would give her the name of what she was supposed to call me. And you say, that's not a big deal. Sure, it's a big deal. And she named me Derek Daniel. And I thought about, not only did she pray before I was born, every chapter of my life, she's prayed for me, believed in me. And man, I don't know about you, how many thank God for mamas? Amen. Amen. Let's give moms a hand today. Amen. I know my assignment, so go to Luke chapter 23 and go down to verse 39. I'm going to give one commercial. This will probably be the only one I give because I know this is Mother's Day night. Some of you might not get to come back. I'm not trying to guilt you into coming back, but I'm going to try to entice you to come back. Tonight, we're going to be dealing, if God don't change me, and I don't know that he will, but we're going to deal tonight with what I learned in the valley. What I learned in the valley. Now, everybody that would look up here, let me just ask you this simple question. Have you ever been in a valley? Have you ever been in a place in your life that you scratched your head and you wept and you wondered? It felt like your back was against the wall. Everything around you seemed to be falling apart. But how many would agree with the preacher today? God is faithful, even in the valleys of your life. And you say, well, why would you give us a commercial? Because I'm convinced that I don't want to give an actual number. You'd probably be shocked at the people in this service on Mother's Day that are battling life. Things don't make sense in your world. And you need something that only God can help you with. You don't want to miss. I'm telling you, if you miss any night, I wouldn't miss tonight. I'm telling you, I'd be here tonight because I believe the Holy Ghost, the power of God, is going to minister us tonight. Well, Luke chapter 23, go to verse 39. When you get to verse 39, shout a big amen. Amen. If you said amen, would you stand with me? I'm going to try to help y'all and free you up, make you feel better. And I know this is Mother's Day, And I done heard we have some gifts, or the church has got some gifts for our mothers. Here's what I'm going to do. I think this will make you feel good. I'm 42, and here's what I've learned in preaching. Long preaching doesn't necessarily mean good preaching. Amen. Boy, if you've ever had a good time to amen, that was your chance. And I'm going to obey the Lord. And I'm just going to give you what I got. And however long that takes, I don't look for it to go in overtime. But I'm just going to obey the Lord. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if. Everybody say, if. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Everybody say, amiss. Amiss. It's an interesting word. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, I'll deal with this today. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. There was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the word of Almighty God. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for this great pastor and his wife. Thank you for this great leadership that is in this church. God, I've come this week and I just come to be a mouthpiece. I didn't come to impress anybody. I just come to preach what you've laid on my heart. If there's anybody lost, if there's anybody on this Mother's Day that is out and living in sin and rebellion, I pray that this would be the day that they would recognize they're a sinner in need of a Savior. Speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. I'm still convinced that every godly mama, it is her desire to see her children love God, serve God, and worship God, and put their faith in a God that spoke this world into existence. Do something on Mother's Day, and we'll give you the praise, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, you may be seated in the house of God. For the next few moments, if you like to jot down notes so that the man of God can't come back next year and preach this same sermon, then jot down these few words. Choices made at Calvary. I don't think the folks on this side of the church heard me. I said choices made at Calvary. Would anybody agree that everybody in this room, we are the sum total of the choices we make in life? Not come to preach on choices. If you could have been there on that day that Jesus walked up a hill and they beat spikes in his hands and in his feet and they crowned a crown of thorn upon his head and they had beat his back to a bloody pulp, would you agree with the man of God? It would have changed your life forever. You say, Derek, I wonder what you're talking about. Brother Carl, the Calvary experience is this. The rocks were rent. The earth quaked. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Do you agree with the man of God that Calvary not only touched physical things, but Calvary touched humanity? Everything we see and everything that goes on, we understand that Calvary made the difference on planet Earth. The repented thief, If you could ask him this morning, did Calvary change your life? Brother John, he would say, when I said, Lord, remember me, he said, my life was forever changed when I put my faith in the man on the middle tree. You say, Derek, I would that you'd go a little further. I looked the little word up, malefactor. Now, I'm going to be transparent. Everybody think we preachers just know everything about the Bible. Everybody look up here. If we knew everything about the Bible, we wouldn't have to study. I mean, we don't know everything. And I mean, there's still stuff. I'm 42. I've been preaching since I was 13. And if you'd have asked me about 10 years ago how smart I was, I'd have convinced you or tried to that I had it pretty good. I had a pretty good grip on it. At 42, I realize I don't know much about this book. Amen. And so I thought malefactor, Brother Carl. I said, well, God, malefactor, surely it means he's a man and he's going to a cross and he's got to die. That surely is what a malefactor means. And I don't know about you, that sounds pretty reasonable. Malefactor, he's a man, he's going to a cross. But I looked the word up, malefactor, it blew my mind. And here's what the word malefactor means. He's a man who schemes. He's a man who schemes. He's a man committed to evil. And I said, okay, God, he schemes. He's committed to evil. I said, what else? And it blew my mind. He's not only evil. He's not only a schemer. He's committed. Listen to this line. He's committed to do what's wrong the entirety of his life. Do you agree? That puts perspective. That makes us see what a malefactor is. It paints the picture of the depravity of man, the wickedness of man. It shows us what a sinner really is. All a sinner is a schemer. Amen. Committed to evil, doing that is wrong instead of doing that which is right. That is what a malefactor is. And so God began to deal with me. And this man said, Lord, remember me. I just got to preach to somebody. Do you agree? When you were born on this planet, you were a sinner by birth. You were a sinner by nature. And you were a sinner by choice. God said, you know that familiar scripture, Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you agree with me that if you come to Calvary, you cannot remain neutral? You'll either choose life or you'll choose death. The choice is yours. Now, I got wonderful, wonderful news. I normally wouldn't tell you, but it's Mother's Day. I'm in a good spirit today. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I got 4 points. That went over so good, I could feel it in my feeler, man. Hey, I got 4 points, and they're going to be brief. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Brother John, point one is my longest point. Number one, I see a young man and his past. Write that down. A young man and his past. The Bible said, you said, well, why would you think, Derek? He's a young man. Here's why I believe that, Brother Carl. Here's why. The Jews were living in Jerusalem. They were slaves in their own land because of the bondage of unbelief. These young men wanted to break the rules of the Roman government and the Roman authority. They were zealots. They had rebelled against the law. They took the law into their own hands. They revolted. They caused an insurrection. And here's what the Romans did. The Romans said, you young men that have broken our rules, we're going to make death by crucifixion. We're going to be the inventor of the cross. And if you break our rules, there will be consequences for breaking our rules. So they built the cross. And you know that if you've done any study at all. But here's what I want you to see. I said, well, God, what did these malefactors do? What were the crimes that they committed? Here are the three crimes they were guilty of. Brother Bill Rogers, here it is. Here's the interesting thing. Three crimes they committed. Number one, they were rebels. You say, well, everybody knows what a rebel is. Sure you do. They had rebelled against the authority and they had rebelled against the Roman government. Number two, they were thieves. I'll go into detail in just a moment. They were thieves. Do you remember Barabbas? The Bible said Barabbas was a thief. And do you remember, Pastor Carl, it was Jesus that died in the place of Barabbas. So they are rebels. They are thieves. And here's the last one they were guilty of. They were murderers. They were guilty. They were, they are criminals. They were rebels. They were thieves. And they were murderers. You say, well, Derek, would you put the jelly where on the bottom shelf? Gladly. Here, this young man, he has a past. He has consequences that he has to deal with because of the choices he's made in his past. You say, well, Derek, that's a good history lesson. What does that have to do with us right here at Cornerstone on a Mother's Day? Well, here's the history lesson going into detail. Rebels means this. A rebel has the sin of unbelief. They reject God's will. They reject God's word. And they reject God's way. You say, do you got any Bible? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in here, you might not raise your hand and you might act like you don't know what I'm talking about, but everybody in here knows what it is to be rebellious. It's getting awful quiet. It was born in me and it was born in you to be a sinner and to be rebellious. It's just in our nature. And so I see that. Then I thought about a thief. Someone said, well, you know, Derek, I'm not a thief. I've never stole anything and I've never done anything like that. Everybody look up here. I was 6 years old in kindergarten. Roy, I shouldn't be this transparent. 6 years old, kindergarten. I saw Eric Canada had a red pencil with a big red eraser. And I saw him get up and go to the back of the class and get him some water. And while he vacated the red pencil and the red eraser, sticky fingers reached over in a territory and a desk that wasn't mine, and I snatched that pencil. Now, I can already tell it broke your hearts that I stole that pencil. Now, I don't know. I cannot tell you. I do not remember, and I'm not trying to have selective memory. I'm hoping, D, I'm hoping I put it back. But I'm not going to make any promises. Help me, somebody. And so I thieved that little pencil. So I know what it is to be a rebel. And I know what it is to be a thief. And maybe I've not convinced you. Maybe you never stole a red pencil with a red eraser. But let me go a little further with that. Would you agree with the man of God when you think about a thief? The Bible is precise and the Bible is plain. And do you agree that when God created us, He created us to serve Him, love Him, and honor Him. Brother Carl, man was not created to float his own boat and to call his own shots and do his own thing. We were created to fear God, honor God, and worship God, and have a relationship with God. The greatest insult, John, on this planet is to breathe in God's air and spit it back in the face of God in thievery and rebellion and in blasphemy. It is an insult to God. And God pounded this in my spirit. He said, Derek, if you're not pleasing me, Derek, if you're not loving me, Derek, if you're not honoring me, listen to what he said. You are stealing from me. Wow. Do you realize it got real quiet? But that's what you do when you don't honor God and you don't serve God and you don't put God first. You're stealing from God. One more little thought. And when you sit on the throne of your life, that's not your place to sit. That is God's place to sit. It is God to be the authority. It is God to be the ruler. It is God you're to trust. It is God you're to follow. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. So I see a rebel, I see a thief, and then here's the last one, and I'll go, a murderer. Well, Derek, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'll raise my hand right now, Derek. Derek, I've never committed murder. Derek, there's never been a man on the planet or a lady on the planet die because of me. Well, I want you to look up here. Today, when you go home and hopefully spend time with Mom, I want you to go to the mirror. I want y'all to notice today I don't have any hair on the top of my head. So I grew it somewhere else. So I can at least look at hair when I go to the mirror. Don't laugh at that. But here's what I know about it. When you and I look in the mirror, would you agree? It wasn't, whose crimes was Jesus dying for? It wasn't the crimes that he had committed. It wasn't the sins that he had committed. Would anybody agree? You and I are the reason he had to die. And the reason he went there is for you and it's for me. So I see a young man, and I see a young man in his past. Number two, let me preach to you now. Number two, I see a guilty man and his punishment. A guilty man and his punishment. They are arrested. They are tried. They are found guilty. The death sentence has been passed upon them. Do you agree with me? There they are. They're on that tree. Jesus is in the middle tree. There's a thief on his right, and there's a thief on his left. Hey, I don't know about you. What a picture. What a scenario. Jesus on the middle tree. And these two thieves on either side of Christ. One thief says, "If you be Christ." The other thief said, "For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." Let me put that in rolling Oklahoma talk. We are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss. The sun is baking their brow. They are thirst. The thirst, Brother John, is overwhelming. There they are. There they are on the cross. And I get to thinking about this. Derek, the reason I walked an aisle and gave my heart to Jesus was because I was guilty. I'm a guilty man and I'm a guilty woman. And the reason I walked an aisle and gave my heart to Jesus was because I didn't want to die and go to hell. Now, here's what I hear in this politically correct world. Well, you got to have a better reason, Brother Derek, than to go to church and go to the altar than just don't want to die and go to hell. Everybody look over. That's a real good reason. Woo! Sometimes you just shout on your own sermon. It's a real good reason. You say, what does it mean? A guilty man and his punishment. The reason he went to Calvary, the reason you and I are guilty is because our guilt could run into grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I see a guilty man and his punishment. I'm just as shocked as everybody in here. And y'all thought I was teasing. I'm already on point number three. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the look at your faces is priceless. I won't say, y'all's as shocked as I am. I'm on point number three. I see a guilty man and his punishment. I see a young man and his past. Number three, I'm going to preach to you now. Here's what I'm going to preach. A dying man and his plea. A dying man and his plea. He's seconds, Brother Carl. He's seconds from dying. He's a heartbeat from hell. And on his dying plea, I love what he didn't say. Oh, I love what he said, but I love what he didn't say. He didn't say, give me one more chance to fulfill the lust of my flesh. He did not say, give me one more chance at sin. He did not say, give me some more money. He did not say, give me just another opportunity. No, he said, Lord, remember me. And Brother Carl, here's the preaching point. If I was going to underline something and say, this is the amen moment, this is the glory hallelujah moment, this is the moment to say, praise God. This man saw something in Jesus that everybody in this room has to see if they're going to enter into the kingdom. Here's what he saw. He saw he was nothing. And Jesus was everything. Whew. That bunch over there paid me no mind. He saw he was nothing and Jesus was everything. My God, I'm like the sister said, them is God bumps right there, buddy. You said, hold up. What do you mean? The greatest day in your life is when you realize you're nothing. And he is everything. You say, Derek, how do you stand week after week and month after month and try to impact lives? Because I know I'm nothing. But he is everything. You say, what makes all the difference in your revivals? He is everything. And someone asked me the other day, said, Derek, this seems like one of the greatest seasons in your evangelism. You're seeing people saved. You're seeing families restored. And you're seeing great revivals. What is the key, Derek? What do you think it is? I'm nothing. And he is everything. Hold up, I just got a little sidetracked and I got tears in my eyes and I gotta give you this. And so there's a thief on one side and there's a thief on the other side. And Brother Carl, this is so simple. And I probably preached all the way around it. And Brother John, but I never seen it like God showed it to me a month or two ago. Here are the two thieves, one on the left, one on the right. One such a sinner. He's so overwhelmed in sin and sin has made a fool out of one man. Hey, they're both in the same condemnation. They're both going to die. And listen, one man is breathing in God's air and he's blaspheming God and he's basically blaming God. And there he is. He's cussing and swearing on the cross. Sin has made a fool out of one of these men. And you say, Derek, would you put it in where we are? Two men, same time, same place, same opportunity, Brother Carl, same Savior. Same place, same time, same opportunity, same Savior, right there. One on one side, one on the other. One's breathing in threat and breathing in air and cussing and swearing. And it hit me like this, Brother John. That one man that's cussing and swearing and blaspheming, here's what he did. He slammed the door on Jesus and died and went to hell. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. On the other side, there's a thief that's not cussing and swearing and making a mess of already the life he squandered. There's another man with a contrite and a broken heart. There's another man on the other side that says, Lord, remember me. That's good preaching. Lord, remember me. And here's what he did. This is the simplicity of the gospel. He opens the door. and goes to heaven. Wow. You say, Brother Derek, does that make you want to shout? Oh, bless God. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd take a lap around the church. But I don't want to mess up my hair. Amen. So I'm just going to stay calm and hold my composure. But I want to tell you right now, would you agree with me? One slammed the door and went to hell, and the other one opened the door and went to heaven. Would you agree with the man of God? The choice is yours. You either shut the door and go to hell, or you open the door and go to heaven. That is the choice you face. Now, I told you, and I meant business. Here it is. Here's what he said. This man done nothing amiss. Brother John, you'll love this. The word amiss, Brother Carl, you'll love this. It's an old English word. Means this, nothing out of step. Nothing out of place. Here's why. Here's what got interested in me. It's a music term. Now, everybody look back up here. Brother Derek, do you know anything about music? No, all I do is play the radio, baby. I love music. I don't know how to do it, but I love music. But it is a musical term. It's the symphony is in perfect harmony. Here's what I love. So here's what it was saying. So it means nothing amiss. It means nothing out of step, nothing out of place. Would you agree with the man of God? Jesus never took a step out of place. He never had a thought out of place. My God, he never touched out of place. He's done nothing amiss. Derek, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible said he was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was without spot and without blemish. Would you agree with me? He was and is the true Lamb of God. I preached for a few minutes. Y'all have been very attentive. You've listened carefully. I love this dying man in his plea, and I'm still not done. I'm almost done with him. He pulls himself upon that cross, and he speaks it, and he says, Lord, remember me. Do you agree? Would you agree that's who he is? That's what he is. He will always and always will be the Lord. Angels called him Jesus. Mary called him son. But everybody that goes to Calvary must call him Lord. If your life is forever changed, you will call him Lord. Lord, remember me. Now, here's what blessed me. I love this. I thought about the word Lord. If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Y'all ain't hear me? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Ooh, I like that. He says, Lord, remember me. He said, when thou comest into thy kingdom. I need everybody. I shouldn't pick on church folks, but that's all I ever preach to. So if you're going to pick on somebody you hang out with. So I'm going to pick on you. All of us. I'm going to throw us all in there. This guy. Knows more than some people I preach to in church. Oh, Brother Derek, I don't like that. Well, hold up. I'm not done. He says, when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here he is. He's lived his whole life in blatant rebellion and in wickedness. And he saw something in the man on the middle tree. And he said, when you come into your kingdom. Here's what he was saying, Brother Carl. Because you have a kingdom, I know you're a king. Amen. Brother Derek, that's good preaching. Thanks. I was trying. But here's what I love. On one side, there's a man cussing and swearing and saying, if thou be Christ, There's another man on the other side says, Lord, remember me. Here's what he's saying. He said, Lord, I know you're the king, and I know you got a kingdom. And when you walk into your kingdom, remember me. Put a good word in for me. When you get into your kingdom, remember, consider, contemplate me. Because I want to go where you are. And Jesus said, that thief saying, I don't know when and I don't know why, I don't know how you're going to do it, but would you remember me? And Jesus looked at him and said, today. What about right now? Woo! Hallelujah. Now, hold up. I shouldn't have jumped ahead. He said, include me, take me, don't leave me. I got two questions to ask you. If you had 5 seconds to live, you know what's the beauty about preaching somewhere you don't know anybody? You can say whatever you want. Because I don't know none of y'all. And I didn't come here to upset you. And you know what I found out about today's church? You don't have to say very little. People get offended over stuff I never would have thought in a million years they'd get offended over. You agree with that? And I mean, I'm so sweet and so loving. And I don't know why they get upset. If you had 5 seconds to live, what's your final request? I met people, Brother Carl, and I, this isn't a heaven or hell issue with me, and I don't want you to read it wrong, but I've been around people that said stuff like this, dying almost on death's door, and say something like this, give me one more cigarette. Just don't look guilty, and I won't know. Amen? Just give me one more cigarette. I've been around people so bound by alcohol. Give me one more drink to calm my nerves. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody die of cirrhosis of the liver. They bleed out of their fingernails, toenails, eyes, ears. It's a brutal way to die. Now hold up. So you won't think I'm just picking on cigarettes and alcohol because that's what we've always picked on. I know there's drugs. I know there's adultery. I know there's everything under the... I know all kinds of rules and the sins of the flesh. But everybody look up here. I've seen people do this, Brother Carl. On their deathbed, very, very few seconds to live. Oh, I wished I had one more contract to make one more dollar bill. Would you just look up here? When the death gurgle gets in the back of your throat and you've got just a few seconds to live, a cigarette, a drink, a money contract will not get you from here to there. There's only one who can get you from here to there. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the answer. For the world, he's Jesus. Here's the closer. Someone asked me the other day, and I think I forgot to give you point four, and here it is. I'll give it to you. I see a redeemed man in his paradise. A redeemed man in his paradise. Jesus nailed to the cross. He can't move his hands or his feet. His hands are nailed there, but he can, Brother Carl, he can move his head. There's one thief cussing, swearing, blaspheming in the face of Christ. Jesus never answered him a word. John, he never answered the swearing, cussing, and blaspheming. He never answered him a word. Look up here and let me tell you why. Jesus don't answer to swearing, cussing, and blaspheming. On the other side, this one thief said, Lord, remember me. And he made it personal. He said, verily I say unto thee. He made it personal. Then he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here's the classic line. I close. Brother Derek, where is paradise? I get asked some of these silly questions. Where's paradise? Here's the great answer. Just write it down because I want to address it after church. Anywhere Jesus is paradise. Brother Derek, do you think you live in paradise? Son, I walk with him. I talk with him. He lives inside of me. And I feel very loved. And I thought of this thing. He dies and he goes to heaven. Brother Carl, and he's walking. I don't know why I get stuff like this. And here, I done shut my Bible. He's walking on Hallelujah Boulevard. Praise be Street. And some guys come up to him and said, how in the world did you get here? About that time Jesus walked in and that thief goes, see that man right there? It ain't because I did anything good. I've lived a wicked, rebellious life. But that man, I told him to remember me and I told him to put a good word. And I'm here because of that man right there. And I shock all y'all. The only way you're going to get to heaven is not because you're a free will Baptist. No. Brother Carl, that's not why we're going to make it. I love our doctrine. I love who we are. I love what we stand for and what we believe. But I'll promise you this. We're not going to make heaven because we belong to the Free Will Baptist Association. We're going to go to heaven because we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Would you stand all over the room?